Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my infinite pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in Great Britain, but throughout the world. And we welcome to the show again four exciting, humorous, individual, skilled players of the game. And sitting on my right, it's Paul Merton and Clement Freud. And sitting on my left, it's Tony Hawkes and Charles Collingwood. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me, it's Claire Barton. And Claire is going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the magnificent and beautiful Wimbledon Theatre in the heart of Wimbledon, right in the centre of South London. And we have a real Southern London audience here who come from all parts of Morden and Streatham and Cheam and to cheer us on our way as we begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is ballroom dancing. I don't know if it's been chosen specially. I've never seen you actually as a ballroom dancer, but I'm sure you can talk on the subject. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Ballroom dancing tends to take place in palais or halls, and there is music to which people go slow, and that word again, quick, monosyllable repeated, and then the first one again. It's not really lenses.
Paul challenged.
Repetition of again.
Again, yes. Word repeated again.
So, again, that word again.
Yes, again, right. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. 45 seconds, starting now.
Some of you may remember myself and Clement being an ideal couple when we danced for the Southern England Counties in 1948 at the Blackpool Tower Ballroom. What a fantastic achievement it was. Clement was the lady.
Tony Challenge.
I think he's lying.
Yes, I'm sure he's lying, but on the other hand...
Well, it's certainly deviation, them dancing together, that's for
sure. Not at all.
Oh, I led.
No. We danced beautifully.
No. You can go to a gay club, you'll see them dancing together.
Tell us about it, Nicholas. Nicholas used to compare.
Tell us about it, Nicholas.
I don't have them. They have no mercy, do they? Right. it's one of those difficult things, Tony.
Yes.
In this show, you can have a surreal idea and people enjoy it. So do we allow surreal humour to be penalised because we know it's probably deviation? I don't know. I will give the benefit of the doubt to Paul. I will try and address the balance later if I have an opportunity. So, Paul, a point to you. Still have the subject. 35 seconds. Ballroom dancing starting now.
I think the Paso Doble was our favourite. The judges would always mark us very high as my partner's head would touch the floor of the ballroom, only to be whisked back up into my arms, twizzled around my head and thrown straight through the public bar. Then he would get the drinks in. It was at that point that I realised alcohol was affecting my ability to dance at the highest level. I then decided that perhaps the partnership should be broken up.
Tony's challenged.
Well, I think it's actually, I'm withdrawing it because I thought he hesitated, but he was just drawing breath, in fact.
Yeah.
And he was trying to keep going through the laughter.
Yeah, right, the laugh. Yeah,
so he gets an extra point because I challenged him correctly. Paul, you have 4 seconds. On. Starting now. Hesitation, my bad.
Give Tony a bonus point. He's trying so hard there. That redresses the balance, too, about what I said earlier. Paul, you still have the subject. You have 12 seconds. Ballroom dancing starting now.
One of the finest ballrooms in this area is, in fact, in Morden, just near the underground station where the old Odeon used to be. It was knocked down some years ago and a most magnificent structure put in its...
Charles Challenge.
I think he said magnificent earlier on.
Don't
you, Nicholas?
Yes. He was talking about that. I'm just going quick rerun through the whole of his what he said.
Yeah.
I don't think he did. No.
No, I didn't.
Ah, definitely didn't. No.
Damn,
I just did a quick recall of everything he said and
sorry about that, Paul.
And you've got half a second of ballroom dancing.
Did he say furniture polish?
He may have said furniture polish, but I didn't hear him say it. Right. Half a second, Paul, starting now.
Furniture polish!
Whoever is speaking in this game when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion was Paul Merton, who actually started with the subject and with interruptions and so forth. He, at the end of that round, got 5 points, which is really quite amazing for a first round. Tony, would you take the next round? The subject is big heads. I don't know why it's been chosen, but there we are. It's a good subject. Talk on it. 60 seconds starting now.
When you watch a sci-fi movie, invariably the aliens have big heads. I suppose the thinking of the writers is big head, big brain. But this is flawed because I've noticed George Bush has got quite a big head. And it isn't necessarily the case that he's enormously intelligent as a result of that fact. Now, I'm a bit of a big head, and that's why I've been given the subject. I'm fantastic. I think everything I...
Chairman Challenge.
Too many eyes.
Yes, right.
I've got two eyes. What are you talking
Three.
About?
Three.
34 seconds, Clement. Big heads starting now.
It's very difficult if your head size is over 8 inches to find a hat, especially one which is a proper head...
Tony Challenge.
I don't think he ever really got going
win.
There.
No, I was... no, he didn't. No.
No. It's like the batteries he's using are clearly.
So, Tony, you've got the subject
hesitation,
back.
Hesitation, yeah.
And the 23 seconds on big heads starting now.
When a cos is twinned...
I'd love to know what you were trying to say, Tony.
That's well, it was a spoonie. I was going to try and say when a coin is tossed. But I did say when a cross is toined. It isn't technically even a spoonerism, isn't it? So we need to think of a word for what that is.
I think it was almost giving up the will to live, I think.
I certainly have done now, anyway.
Charles, you got in first on hesitation. 21 seconds with you, big heads starting now.
It always seems to me that a baby should be born with a smaller head than its...
Clement, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. Clement, you have the subject of big heads, and you have 15 seconds starting now.
If you toss a coin in the air and ask two captains to call, one might say big heads, whereas the other could prefer small tails, which is exactly how I like my rhinoceros.
Paul, you challenged.
Well, sexual deviation. Unnecessary personal detail. It conjures up a horrible scene, doesn't it?
I tell you what I'm going to do there. I'm going to give Clement a bonus point because what he said the audience enjoyed so much. I'm going to give you a point for a correct challenge and say you have 1 second to go starting now.
One time ago.
So, Paul Merton has increased his lead at the end of the round by speaking as the whistle went and other points, and it's Clement Freud, Tony Hawkes and Charles Collingwood in that order. And, Charles, your turn to begin. And the subject now is thrillers. Tell us something about thrillers in this game, starting now.
Wait Until Dark was one of the best thrillers ever written. It surrounded a blind woman on stage who couldn't, of course, see.
Paul Challenge.
A sort of hesitation there.
There was a sort of hesitation, yes.
No...
Well, I've got to be fair within the rules
there
of just
are.
A minute.
You didn't know what a big family I had, did you?
It's no good booing Charles. If he made a mistake, he made a mistake. Don't rub it in.
So, Paul, you have the subject of thrillers. 50 seconds starting now.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Tony Challenge.
Hesitation.
No. Well tried, but 49 seconds, thrillers, Paul, starting now.
Made his name throughout the world for a series of brilliant films from the 1920s onwards. He was known as the master of suspense. Perhaps his finest movie is North by... No, it's not that one, it's Psycho. Because otherwise I'd be in trouble. I think maybe Norman Bates' character is a wonderful...
Clement, challenge you.
Repetition.
Right. What's that?
Repetition.
Of what?
Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Give him his bonus point, and you've got one for being interrupted, Paul, and you have 31 seconds on thrillers starting now.
The British period, 1937, was a...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
19.
You said 1920s before.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Clement, you have 27 seconds on thrillers starting now.
Don't Be Home Before Dark is a play which, if it hasn't been written, should be. I have not seen it. It might very easily deal with a blind woman who cannot see, who would come onto the stage late in the second act and find...
Tony challenged.
I think it was a slight hesitation.
It was a hesitation, yes, because he didn't know the plot and he couldn't go on. 10 seconds on thrillers starting now.
I've never seen a thriller with a blind woman in, but I'm going to go and see one very soon.
Paul challenged.
Well, curiously, repetition of C.
Yes, going to go and see.
No, I said I've never seen.
No, I'm going to go and see. You used the word going as well.
So which have I repeated, then?
C, you repeated C.
I've never seen a play.
He's my
seen.
Partner. He said seen he and
seen.
Did
he say seen?
Yes.
I've never seen.
Ah. He did not repeat C. Ah. He said seen and see, and we're bonding over here.
Oh, yeah.
You should see us do Borum dancing.
I thought the table was moving up and down.
I must say. You have a subject still, Tony, of thrillers, 6 seconds, starting now.
Michael Jackson made a video called Thriller from the song, and I remember watching this and thinking nothing is more frightening.
So Tony Hawk speaking as the whistle Wayne gained an extra point. He's now equally Clement Freud in second place. Our leader is still Paul Merton, and Charles is training just a little. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, game, set and match. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, of course, it's a tennis term, and as we are here in Wimbledon, the home of that game, perhaps as famous as Morden, the tennis tournament they have there every year, is outshone slightly by tennis.
Clement has challenged.
Tennis.
Repetition of...
Tennis.
Tennis.
Yes.
Not
too much tennis,
tennis
yes. Yeah. 52 seconds, Clement, game, set and match, starting now.
Tennis is the only game in which an umpire could...
Charles Charles.
Sorry, he didn't hesitate. I just saw it coming and it didn't. I'm so sorry.
You
it's
can't...
bad radio, that, because I could just see him coming... Sorry.
You saw his... It wasn't. It was quite good. I mean, it was sort of...
did you think he was hesitating?
He was about to. I quite agree with
you,
yes.
OK, great.
Are we allowed to be psychic?
No. No, you've brought this up once before. We don't have psychic challenges.
We don't.
No. What Charles was referring to is the fact that we can see, which the listeners can't, that on Clement's face you could see he was about to hesitate, but he didn't quite
do
it.
I'm sorry, Clement.
No. So he was teetering on the edge of it, and so he gets an incorrect challenge and a point and 49 seconds, game, set and match, starting now.
If I were about to masticate, could you see that as well?
Poor Charles.
Hesitation.
If you were about to masticate, what would you? What was the end of the sentence?
Did you say masticate?
Did you say masticate? I'm rather a long way away. I thought you said masticate.
I think he did say masticate. I hope he said masticate. I've just had this suit cleaned.
Because we wouldn't want him throwing up all over you, would
no.
we?
No.
So, Paul...
Not as well. That's what I call a bad night out.
Oh, I tried to save you from yourself and you stepped further into it. Game, set and match, Paul, is with you and 43 seconds starting now.
I went to see the sport at Wimbledon last year and it...
Tony challenged.
A repetition of Wimbledon.
You mentioned Wimbledon is not on the card, yes.
I was so desperately trying to avoid the word tennis.
I know. That's what happens. 39 seconds with you, Tony, on game, set and match, starting now.
They often say game, set, match at the end of a tennis game at Wimbledon. And the centre court surely is the easiest place on earth to get a laugh. The ball gets stuck in the top...
Charles, challenge.
I'd like to say he repeated get... But then it sort of became gets.
That's right, yes.
So I shouldn't have challenged.
Yeah. We're enjoying your contribution in this round a lot.
I'm not having a very nice day now.
No, it's OK. We get points.
But the bonding is disappearing, isn't it?
It certainly has. We've stopped holding hands ages ago.
Charles, it's good to hear from him. All that happens is your friend whom you bonded with does get a point because it was an incorrect challenge. And he keeps the subject. 28 seconds on game, set and match starting now.
Game, set and match to Tim Henman. This is what I long to hear after the final. Will it happen? He's got to the semi of those twice. But three times, in fact. But never gone all the way. It will happen surely in our lifetime.
Charles.
That must be deviation, because he was talking rubbish then.
Charles, you have the subject. 13 seconds, game, set and match, starting now.
There is something awfully final about the expression game, set and match. And that is precisely what happened to my character round about last Christmas, when my stepdaughter Debbie found out that Brian Aldridge...
Oh, Charles Collingwood was speaking to us. So Wen gained an extra point. He's leapt forward. He's still in fourth place. And it's the contribution, not the points. And Clement Freud and Tony Hawkes are equal in second place. And our leader is still Paul Merton. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is traffic calming. Talk on the subject starting now.
Traffic calming, or axle crushing, as many of us consider it to be, consists of having either dead policemen or ramps in the road, which cause vehicles to diminish their speed, slow down, and presumably traffic calm, or traffic calming, as it is called, and the subject on the card is presumably that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Tony Challenge.
That just wasn't a sentence, was it? I think you've got to do sentences. It's got to be.
No, I was gripped.
Deviation from English language.
No, it wasn't, Evie. It wasn't a...
I want to see the punctuation for that sentence, and I want to see it now.
But we're not going by the written word or what we see. It's what you
did it
hear.
Make any sense at all?
Yes.
It did make sense, did actually.
Oh, right.
It
was going in
short. No, you see, Charles and I agree on it.
We didn't either of us think it made any sense at all.
But you're not working as a team.
We are now.
Clement, benefit of the doubt, 34 seconds, traffic calming starting now.
Traffic calming is becoming more and more...
You've got in this time, right, more and more. Right, 31 seconds, traffic calming with you, Tony, starting now.
I don't think it's actually the traffic that needs calming so much as the drivers. As soon as they get behind the wheel, they become maniacal, shouting at others, veins coming out on their necks. What's the matter with them? Why don't they calm down? But maybe it is, in fact, the traffic calming that's making them cross in the first place. Used to have a nice, smooth road. Now somebody from the council's gone in, put a little bump in the middle of the day. That's not going to make them...
Charles.
I think there were two middles.
No, he didn't say middle.
Middle of the road and middle of the day?
Oh, yes.
Yes, right. Yes. Well done.
Charles, 6 seconds on traffic calming with you starting now.
Traffic calming simply doesn't work anywhere at all. And if I see another...
So Charles is leaping forward, and he's now almost equal with Clement Freud and Tony Hawkes in second place. But still out in the lead is Paul Merton. And Charles, your turn to begin. And the subject is the best programme on Radio 4. I wonder what you'll say. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
You may be surprised to know that I think the best programme on Radio 4 is the shipping forecast. Because a few years ago, I was sailing down the Irish Sea with my singer-songwriter friend Peter Skellen, who is a better musician than he is sailor, and we got into a force 10 gale. And I can't help but telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the shipping forecast for the next...
Clement Challenge.
Shame.
What
shame.
A shame.
Shame. What a shame.
We still depended on it, and I'm here tonight to tell you we lived through it.
The shipping forecast was repeated,
yes.
And Clement, you have 37 seconds on the best programme on Radio 4, starting now.
I'm very fond of the shipping forecast. I think Charles Collingwood should tell us more about it. In a few seconds' time, I'm going to pause, and if he could then pass and get me for hesitation, I will raise
just
my hand.
You've been challenged, Clement, by Paul.
Hesitation. In a few seconds' time.
Hesitation when?
In a few seconds' time.
Oh, anticipation.
Anticipation.
Psychic.
Yeah, he said I'm going to hesitate in a few seconds' time. I thought, well, there's no point in hanging around. Let's get on with it. I've got lots to say. I've got lots to say on this subject. I'm champing at the bit.
Right. No, well, I'll tell you what we do. That was... he hadn't actually hesitated, so no. I can't give you a point for hesitation because it hadn't happened.
But when he does hesitate, do I get the point?
No. You can have a point now because they enjoyed your interruption.
Oh, OK.
But Clement keeps the subject, has another point, and he has 27 seconds on the best programme on Radio 4 starting now.
I'd like to put a bid in for a hesitation next week.
Full challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, then, definitely. And now you've got the subject with 23 seconds on the best programme on Radio 4, starting now.
I love the consumer programme of Attitude, Up You and Yours. What a fantastic show that is. I tune in every midday.
Charles, you've challenged.
Reputation of show.
Yes, yeah. You did sort of do the show for, yes. I know, you enjoyed it, but it's, we're playing just a minute, and those are the rules.
Yes.
And I have to judge by the rules. So, Charles, you've got in with 16 seconds on the best programme on Radio 4, starting now.
Considering I've been employed in the Archers for over 28 years, it would be churlish if I didn't say that I think that is the best programme on Radio 4.
Paul Charles.
Well, deviation. A minute ago, he said it was the shipping forecast. Now he's saying it's the Archers. Which is the best programme on Radio 4, Charles?
You know actors, darling. We're very changeable. We'll bat for any old side, we will. My wife, thank
you. Charles, you've got your plug in, but Paul was correct. It was deviation. Well, no, you said.
Yes.
You said the best programme was, and now suddenly you've changed and said the Archers.
Yeah, but I was allowed to lie earlier.
You didn't say you were lying, though.
No,
you didn't say you were lying.
So
no,
which is the lie? The shipping forecast? I bet you can't stand the Archers. I bet you can't.
I don't care.
Within
anyway.
The rules of just a minute, Paul is actually correct. And if you're going to lie, let them know you are lying.
Listen, I'm getting 15 grand for tonight. I don't care what you
Well, if you're getting 15 grand, you can take those audience out afterwards. Paul, you have 7 seconds on the best programme on Radio 4, starting now.
The show I prefer.
Tony.
No.
Yes, the second word he said was the one he'd repeated previously. Not that I'm rubbing it in at all.
You already said show before, and you said show again, and Tony, you've got in with the best programme on Radio 4. 4 seconds starting now.
The best programme on Radio 4 has to be Just a Minute, of course. Yeah. That's why we're all...
So Tony Hawkes brought that round to an end with a flourish, which we all appreciated, particularly the audience, and gained an extra point. And he's one behind our leader, Paul Merton. He's 2 ahead of Clement Freud and 1 or 2 more ahead of Charles Collingwood. That is the situation as we go into the next round. And, Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject, this is a period subject, spam. all the older people in the audience are laughing. Will you tell us something about spam in this game, Clement, starting now?
Spam is a sort of spiced ham which came into popularity during the Second World War. And because everyone was so enormously fond of the taste, it hung on in there. Spam pie and pudding, fritters with chips, peas.
Yes, Paul.
That was a hesitation.
That definitely was a hesitation.
I didn't dare.
Are you good?
No, I lost my nerve then. And,
never lose your nerve in this game. None of them ever do, Charles.
Can you give us the recipe afterwards for spam pudding? I'm keen to cook some spam pudding myself.
39 seconds, Paul, with you on spam, starting now.
There's a Monty Python sketch featuring Terry Jones sitting in a transport cafe where the menu consisted of nothing but spam. So when the customer came in and said, what have you got? She said, spam, 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 spam. I'm quoting from the sketch.
I know. I'm going to just challenge you, though.
I think that's too often.
I think that's too often.
That's rich. I didn't say I've had spam in Greenwich, Norwich, Cambridge.
You know, after all the years you've played the game, you can't say any word indefinitely, Paul. So 25 seconds, Clement, with you on spam, starting now.
There are people who find spam unpalatable, even unappetizing, and I suggest that pickles, chutney, macerated cucumber, gherkins, capers, all sorts of condiments and spices are extremely...
Paul has challenged you.
Well, we've got a list of condiments and spices here. We've moved away from the span. We're talking about other foodstuffs.
Well,
that's got to be deviation from the subject.
He did establish that... He did establish that you can have all these condiments with Spam.
Oh, but that's just ridiculous. You might as well say all the people have eaten Spam. Winston Churchill, something. You know, where'd you go with that? You've got to stick to the subject.
Charles and I have decided not to play in this round.
And having just said Spam 46 times...
I stuck to the subject, didn't I? I don't think you
speak from a position of strength, quite frankly.
Very strong position. I didn't deviate.
No, Charles. I have to be further than the
rules. Hesitate.
I've got some cards here. Come on, let's have a game of cards.
I've got a packet of Spam.
Clement, you still have 12 seconds on Spam starting now.
Clement and Attlee and Winston Churchill did eat Spam, but Stafford Cripps never did because he was
Paul's
a vegetarian.
Challenge. Deviation. Churchill couldn't stand the stuff. He hated it. He was photographed with it for the war effort, but he's actually hated it. He used to give it to his wife. The Churchill Years by Roy Jenkins. Just come out. You look up Spam in the index. Spam, Churchill hated it, page 148.
Paul, none of us have any proof that he never ate Spam.
Is there a bookshop that's open in the area? Down to Otica. Send somebody down to Otica's.
Paul, give him 2 bonus points because he's got 2 interruptions, both of which got laughs. But Clement has a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject. Spam is still with you, Clement, and you have 6 seconds starting now.
I would recommend Spam to all my readers, whom I will now mention by name.
Well, I never thought a simple thing like Spam would give us so much fun, but also so much trouble to the chairman. But let me give you the final situation. Charles Collingwood has only been with us twice before, but did extraordinarily well. We loved your contribution, Charles. You did, unfortunately, finish in 4th place, but that is no reflection on the your contribution. Brilliant, brilliant. Tony Hawkes has played many times and often won, but he finished only 2 or 3 points behind our winner. Clement Freud, coming with that last flourish on Spam, came up to 19 points, but just 1 point ahead was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. So, it only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 delightful, exciting and talented players of the game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes, Charles Collingwood and Clement Freud. I thank Claire Bartlett, who's helped me keep the score and blown her whistle so delicately. And also we thank our producer-director, which is Claire Jones. And also we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created the game. And we're deeply grateful to this lovely audience here at the Wimbledon Theatre in Wimbledon, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from our lovely panel, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.